So why do we love to watch people fight? Writer Carrie Howley spent months asking herself that question as she followed two mixed martial artists across the Midwest. She tells their story in her new book, Throne, which is narrated by a semi-fictional version of herself named Kit. But the fighters, along with their hopes, their dreams, their injuries, they're real.
I was in a Des Moines conference center, and I was I think there were 11 fights that night. This was my first experience with a live fight. And for the most part, I was kind of interested in this kind of anthropological way. But it was the last fight in which that kind of anthropological disinterest turned to absolute fascination. And that was the fight in which a fighter named Sean Huffman, who did not have the body of a fighter. He's overweight. He kind of had a muffin top over his shorts. He was a little bit short to be fighting in that weight class. And he was fighting a guy named Kevin the Fire Burns. And they went at each other for 5 rounds. And at no point during that fight was Sean winning. Sean was just kind of taking punishment with this waking grace. And to watch such solidity in the face of this encounter, it was an amazing experience.
Did he seem like he was getting hurt? I mean, did he look like he was feeling pain?
No, he didn't. And in fact, the really difficult to manage sources of pain are far more mundane. It's the hunger of trying to make weight for a fight, that kind of gnawing hunger you get when you have to drop 20 pounds in a few weeks. It is the loneliness of leaving home for the first time. It's the soreness after a fight when you have bruised your ankle or something like that. But I think the adrenaline is such, and the sense of abandon is such inside the cage that it's not experienced exactly as we would imagine it.
So tell us about Sean, this person who's decided to devote his life to fighting and taking huge amounts of punishment. That's kind of what he's known for, right?
Yeah, sure. He comes from Knoxville, Tennessee. At the time that I was writing the book, he was 34. And he served some time in Iraq. And when he came home, he wanted to get involved in mixed martial arts. So he ended up driving to Illinois. He shows up at the Miletich fighting camp. And he lasted. He was just incredibly tough and dedicated and talented. I mean, Sean has good technique.
There's this one fight I recall that kind of exemplifies the kind of fights that Sean takes. It's the one with Laverne Clark. Can you tell that story?
So, yeah, he's fighting Laverne Clark, who was a UFC veteran, meaning this is someone who'd really been in the big leagues and was aging out of it at this point. And Sean and he looked, again, very physically different, Sean being a little bit overweight. And there was confusion over whether it was a 3 or 5 round fight. So that was the level of disorganization, was that the fighters didn't even know how many rounds that they were supposed to be fighting. So Sean...
And Sean didn't even know he was headlining until he arrived.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Sean came late. He had outdated blood work, and when he arrived, he was told that he was headlining, and, you know, he was like, okay. So they got in the cage, and Sean was losing from the beginning. I think he was just gassed. But then Laverne starts to do something which is called 12-6ing, which is elbowing Sean in the spine by punching his elbow down as hard as he can. That's something that's one of the many things that one cannot do in a fight. So Laverne Clark is doing this, and the ref tells him not to. And then Laverne Clark does it 2 more times, at which point the fight is declared, you know, null and void. It's disqualified, and that's how Sean wins that fight.
But so it's this whole picture of, like, incredible disorganization.
Yeah.
You know, and Sean just shows up, and he's going to go in the ring no matter what, and then he just gets brutalized, and he just takes it. And I guess the thing that gets me is it seems like this is what he likes. For him, this is fighting. This wasn't a bad night, necessarily.
Well, I mean, I think that there is a feeling of ecstasy, of abandon, this kind of atavism that the fight makes possible. And that is what Sean is soaking in. So there's a way in which this violence allows Sean to enter this place that feels like no other place he can be. And I mean, he was ecstatic when he came out of that fight. And I think that's what drew him there.
And do you feel that way too, watching it? Do you get a hit of that ecstasy?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I mean, I think we can see fighting as a ritual that enables this kind of chaotic, atavistic ecstasy in a society where there just aren't that many opportunities. And to me, MMA was a portal into this world, this feeling that you've been removed from the constraints of your body, almost like you're longing to dissipate into the crowd. I think violence enables that in some ways.
Can you explain why you think that happens? Because honestly, I'm not a fan of fighting, and I don't get it. I don't understand how you can feel ecstatic or how it can feel like an altered experience almost to watch somebody get brutalized.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it is this sense of being freed from the constraints only momentarily of civilization. You know, I had this quote from Artaud's Theater of Cruelty.
Antonin Artaud, the French... What?
That would be the one.
The French philosopher.
The French theorist, yes. And, you know, it was above my desk while I was writing. And the quote is, "In our present state of degeneration, it is through the skin that metaphysics must be made to re-enter our minds." There's something that seems to bypass cognition in the midst of a fight where we can achieve this thinking through the body. You know, Artaud also talked about a theater halfway between gesture and thought. You know, not a theater that relied on small psychological insights, but a theater that made space speak, that brought alive something that had seemed inert.
We were talking about the ecstasy of watching a fight. I guess I can see if a fighter, if for some reason the experience of being in the ring, getting pounded and hurting somebody else, if that feels ecstatic to a fighter, I understand that. Don't you think there's something kind of creepy about the fact that there are all these fans getting off on watching somebody else get hurt? I mean, they're getting the ride, but they don't have to risk their bodies.
I guess it depends where you see their attention focused. So if you frame it as they're waiting for somebody to get hurt, which I'm not sure that they are, if you frame it as they're watching two men who have, in a way that most of us can't, rejected the impulse of self-preservation, who are just kind of embracing their bodies as a way to achieve this experience that they can't, or this feeling that they can't access any other way. I mean, I think a missing piece of our conversation is that I was turning 30 when I wrote this book, and turning 30 can, if you let it, be a time of kind of nagging anxiety about the dissipation of your physical being, right? About the little ways in which you feel yourself failing. And in the midst of that, to watch men who are just kind of walking into entropy, who saw their bodies as vehicles for this particular elevating experience was really thrilling. And, you know, I think there is something real to that elevation, to that desire for a kind of experience that normal life can't give them, that's more than just wanting to hurt somebody else.
Carrie Halley's new book is called Throne.